Welcome to the Bearscast from podcast.shapelessbears.com. Oh, for the love of God, my anus is bleeding.
Are you ready, boys?
Yeah, braced and ready.
Here we go.
Do it.
Say nothing.
Brilliant.
Don't say nothing. This is the podcast number 11. It's a landmark special one for two reasons. First off, it's our first female guest.
Yeah.
We have not, we had estrogen sneak in at the end of the last episode, but this is our first actual guest, real guest, sitting down, you know, and this is
Silver.
Kristen.
This is my sister.
Yes. Yeah. Sir Mildred Pierce's sister, Kristen. You know me, I'm EBA, and I guess I don't have to introduce Bob Costas over here. So, and that's right.
Yeah.
This is Bob Costas. We also, this is a landmark because we're going to have voting on this one, sort of voting kind of thing. We need your feedback. We need your feedback anyway. If you're not already writing to us about the podcasts or commenting or something like that and you listen regularly, then shame on you. You know, we're not at PBS, we don't ask for donations, but we do ask for your feedback. So anyway, we specifically are asking for your feedback on this episode because there's kind of this, I wouldn't say necessarily like fight that Sir Mildred Pierce and I keep having, but we keep arguing about the scratching at the beginning and end of the, right. the show. How
I don't think voting is a very good idea, though.
Well, not voting necessarily, but
we'll, just feedback.
Yeah, just get some feedback. Do we think we should take it out altogether, which I think we shouldn't.
No, I don't think we should take it out all the other things.
But just at the beginning of the show.
I think we should leave it at the end.
So.
And you could even do a longer one at the end.
We'll see. But, I mean, you know, please give us your feedback on that. And there's something else we'll talk about later on when we get there. So.
All right.
And so this is our opportune time. We're going to play our little email thingy we have.
All right.
Hi, kids. Please remember to send all emails to SirMildredPierce@gmail.com and EBAOFVN@gmail.com. Thanks.
Did you like that, what you just heard?
Yeah.
The little email thing. Awesome. Yeah. You can check us out at podcast.shapelessmass.com. You can check me out at shapelessmass.com. You can check Mr. Pierce out at Spin the Roulette Wheel. What's today's website?
Banana Dean.
Go to Google and type in Sir Mildred Pierce.
Pop Americana.
And
go to wikipedia.org/wiki.SirMildredPierce.
It's P-I-E-R-C,
yeah.
By the way.
Not the other way.
Yeah. And
like
you un-American bastards. Kristen, you have a website page?
I have a Flickr page.
There, yeah, she's got some good pictures on there.
Flickr.com/photos/MukoMama.
Oh, yeah. I know it's early on the podcast. I want to give a shout out early on. Dan Warren had his first all-musical podcast, and he played one of my songs, and he gave a big shout-out to us. So what's up, Dan? Hope you can check this out on your dial-up connection. You can check him out at...
Just go to Google and type in Dan Cakes.
International House of Dan Cakes, like pancakes with a D for Delta. You'll get it. Dan Warren. Good guy. Well,
he's
in fact,
a cool guy.
You know what? Let's play one of his songs right now.
Yeah, let's play the Parallel Universes one.
Okay,
that's
yeah.
my favorite one.
This is S&P's favorite one by Dan Warren. This is Parallel Universes, and it's kind of like nerd rock in the sense that it's all about quantum mechanics, but at the same time, it's actually a really cool song.
Yeah.
Every single thing you do, the universe is split in two. With every single choice you make, you leave behind you in your wake a set of places you can't see, expanding exponentially. And all of them have different views, with different things they get to choose. And in the space between some two consecutive quanta of time, there must be a universe where everything is working out fine. Somewhere, everything is working out fine. A universe is born and dies every time you blink your eyes, and other people's other lives turn on and off like fireflies. And you were there, but not quite. Things that you did wrong, they did right. And some of your old friends who died are back alive and feeling fine. And in the space between some two consecutive quanta of time, there must be a universe where everything is working out fine. Somewhere, everything is working out fine. Somewhere, everything is working out fine. There are some where you were born on this spot, this very morn, and there are some where you just died, some by accident and some by suicide. And there are some where you went mad thinking of all the lives you could have had. You killed a bunch of people and you're on the run now from the man. And in the space between some two consecutive quanta of time, there must be a universe where everything is working out fine. Somewhere, everything is working out fine. Somewhere, everything is working out fine. Somewhere, everything is working out fine.
Aha, yes.
I think that song's brilliant.
Dan Warren with Parallel Universes.
I was really floored the first time I heard that.
Really?
Yeah, because I was just couldn't believe that somebody would be singing about singing about that, you know. And
yeah. The thing I like about Dan Warren is he's a really good singer, he's a really good musician, but he's a really amazing lyricist at the same time. The lyrics that he's written are just really well composed.
Yeah.
They always kind of leave me going, you know, wow. I mean, good lyricists without singing can convey a song that's like a good poem in and of itself, but then to, you know, be able to sing it well and produce it well, you know, it's just top notch. Mm-hmm. I cannot for the life of me understand why he's not a signed artist.
So. Well,
but then I don't know why I'm not a signed artist either. So. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, cool.
Have you heard of John Teeter? Did I ever tell you about John Teeter?
No.
Because that song always reminds me of John Teeter, because it sings about, you know, that model of universe that John Teeter talks about. So
John Teeter's a guy who claims that he's come back from the future, which is one of your favorite movies. No, he's come back from the future, and he's just basically hanging out.
This was like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, that John.
Did I tell you about that or something?
Oh, that John Teeter. I thought you meant John Teeter works over at the convenience store.
If it's a hoax, it's definitely one of the best hoax ever.
He's famous in the Art Bellum. How about that?
The Art Bellum universe, yeah. He's famous with
that. Like that Art Bellum, I just coined that.
The what?
The Art Bellum. You know, the Art Bell realm.
Bellum.
Art Bellum. You know, so while we're here, I thought this would be a great time to, you know, and we'll do this again when we get my sister on the podcast, which will never happen. You, being Sir Mildred Pierce's sister, I'm sure you could share some interesting and embarrassing stories about him. The little bit you were telling me, like the synopsis you were giving me earlier, all involve violence.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
A lot of pain and...
He like, yeah. You're like
deception.
A survivor.
It was all accidents.
Yeah, like the mob has accidents.
Right.
No, he accidentally fell down that open elevator shaft. What happened? I mean, just name some great...
Well, the stab me in the head with a pencil.
Now, yeah. How can you stab someone in the head with a pencil accidentally?
Right. Like, I'll explain.
I was stabbing in the air, and her head just happened to be there.
Actually...
Are you serious?
Well, what it was...
But you don't believe I did it on purpose, right?
That look was priceless.
At the time, I believed it was on purpose. But we had this long, skinny box leaned up against the back of our sofa.
Okay.
And my brother and I were... Our other brother.
Yeah.
And I were kind of crawling around underneath there, and Sir Mildred Pierce was just randomly stabbing this box.
Well, I only got one stab off, I think.
And it just happened to be in my
head.
How
old were you?
I was,
probably 9 or 10, and I was about younger.
So you were what, 6? You're a couple
years
younger.
No, it would have to be, you would have been older than that, because I was about 6.
Yeah, it was
so
fifth,
probably
fifth grade.
12 or so.
Okay.
Something like that.
So you were stabbing this box, and you just happened to be crawling in it?
Underneath it.
Well, I wanted to stab it just to, like, so they would see the pencil and be scared by it. But her head was up
against... I bet she was pretty scared by it when it entered into her skull.
I think I still got the piece of lead in my scalp.
Her head was, like, pushed up against the top of the box, so when I stabbed down, it just kind of went thunk.
Any other interesting little...
That's probably about it.
Oh, no. You forget the breaking of the arm.
The breaking of the arm. How do you break someone's arm on accident?
He launched me.
Before
Michael was ready to catch me, he launched me. And I landed on the cement floor.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Okay. So
no, I think it was carpet.
No.
Now, that sounds like there was some willingness involved on your part. If you...
Yeah.
She was the astronaut. I mean, you...
What were you guys doing?
But he launched before I was ready.
What were you
Michael
doing?
Before Michael was ready. Just
it was like this thing where I would lay on my back and, like, crunch up my legs, and she would sit on my feet, and then I would catapult her in the air. She was very young, so she's pretty lightweight and would fly pretty far.
It was carpeted concrete.
It's kind of like the Scottish people with the logs,
but it's very thin carpet.
The Scottish people with the logs, they run and they throw the log to see who can throw it the farthest, like a telephone pole size log.
Toss?
Is there what's the name of that?
Caper toss.
See, I'm Scottish. I don't know this shit. So.
Mildred reviews the world.
We're going to try something new this week, and this is the other thing we want to get your feedback on, is normally we have 10 categories, and Mr. Pierce feels like it's too long.
So this week, though, we're going to use a 10-sided die to choose the categories. Okay, so category one is number one, a movie or TV show.
Octane Hunger Force.
Yeah, it's okay. I like it. I mean, it's...
No, you don't.
No, I like it.
No, you don't.
I don't hate it.
You don't like it. You're ambivalent.
No, I like it.
You're Switzerland to that.
I think the cup guy, he's just a little bit too annoying.
That's the whole point.
I know. I just wish they had a different point.
It's not just about him being annoying. Sometimes, you know, there's...
Yeah, but too much of it is.
I guess.
I mean,
kind of like you.
Could you imagine, like...
But he's also crazy.
Like that?
He's also crazy. Sometimes he doesn't just do annoying stuff. Sometimes he does stuff that you're like, what the fuck?
Like hanging himself to get into a video game.
Yeah, I love Space Ghost. Mm. So, I mean...
If I were giving any thumbs down to that specific lineup of shows, that whole universe, you know, Brack Show, Space Ghost, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and Sealed 2021 and Harvey Birdman, that whole little group of cluster of shows, if I had to give them any thumbs down, it would be because they have a habit of doing shows that intentionally piss off their fan base. Like, they did an episode of C-Lab 2021 to completely recreate a real episode of C-Lab 2021 with no jokes, and at the end of the show, it blew up. And everyone was like, what the fuck?
Category four is a video game.
Tetris? All right,
let's do Tetris.
Tetris,
yeah.
You want to just do
your
Tetris
ass
in general?
We can play each other real quick.
Tetris DS. No, I don't have my DS with me.
No, you didn't bring your DS?
No.
Ah.
Sorry.
Yeah, Tetris. Is awesome. It might be I think I might give it 4 thumbs up. I love Tetris.
That's probably one of the greatest games of all time. How can you give Tetris 4 thumbs up and not 5? That's like it's like a gold standard for most for a lot of video, especially the puzzle game.
I think it's just more because I whoop his ass all the time.
There were so many ripoffs of Tetris after it came out. Like the original we're talking about here now.
Well, the DS version's even better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can play against each other. You got two player Tetris.
Does it include naked ladies?
Yeah.
Yes.
It includes annoying Mario Brothers music. And Zelda music.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong,
yeah.
The whole Nintendo-verse.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But it's all, like, retro. Like, the earliest versions of all those, too.
Wow, cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, they're 5 pixels tall. And so I love it, though. I love playing people over the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, playing people in Japan. And that's one of the cool things about the DS is it's got, like, the hiragana and the katakana characters, so you can always tell. So, anyway, Tetris, yeah. I'll give it 5 thumbs up.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to roll the die again. So we're on the third one, and it's number 8, idea or concept.
Idea or concept.
Testing on inmates? Like I have pharmaceutical testing,
I have a feeling
kind of
I know what his response to this one's going to be.
Like, against their will?
Yeah.
So the idea is testing pharmaceuticals on convicts, convicted felons, right, and so forth, prisoners, against their will.
Yeah, I don't really like that idea very much.
Yeah, they should be killed instead. If you go to the Renaissance Fair, they should have a convicted felon on the rack, and you give them some money, and they do the drawn quartering. That'd be cool. What?
Yeah, that's a good idea. I don't really dig the pharmaceutical testing on inmates. Is that something they're doing?
Something they're thinking about doing?
It's like something that's been proposed, but it's not.
Mm-hmm. They used to do it in the 60s, and now they're talking about doing it again.
Who proposed that, I wonder?
Cass Stevens.
Well, see, first you got to push him through the tube to get him to the pharmaceutical place. I was wondering if maybe the pharmaceutical companies proposed that. That sounds like something they would do. I mean, they are a bunch of evil bastards, so, you know.
I would be surprised if that ever took off, though, if they started doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it'll pass or anything, but I don't think it's a good idea. So.
I don't think giving a bunch of inmates some Cialis is necessarily a good idea either.
Some what?
Cialis or Cialis. I don't know how it's pronounced.
Talking about LSD.
LSD? Yeah. I'd love to get some of our inmates LSD and then film it.
That's a, yeah. That's a
and then story. Sell the film? That'd be awesome. All the guards step out of the prison. They open all the doors and just let them have at it. And then, you know, after everyone's, like, calmed down and dead, you know, then you scrape up the remains, put them back in, you know.
So I'll give it 3 thumbs down.
See, I think we should be using our prisoners for, you know, entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
You know, bloody death matches.
Yeah. Seriously?
Maybe the ones that are convicted to
no,
life
it, but, you know.
Death and all that.
So, anyway, category 9 is my favorite one. It's a British royal.
Prince John.
He was the one that was conniving to,
yeah.
Like, was that a true story, though? That
sure. Part of this? It's a real person. Here it is, John of England.
The Prince John guy?
Yeah.
Is he like
He this? Reigned as king in England until his death, interestingly enough. And his brother Richard.
The third?
No, Richard the first.
Wasn't it Richard the third in the movie?
Yeah.
Or he wasn't off doing the Crusades?
Yeah, he was off during the Crusades. I've got the book right here. Okay. We won't play it, but I can show it to you.
Okay? How about Sean Connor?
Is he a British royal? He should be.
Is this Prince John?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I remember him.
He was a lion, that's right, yes. His sidekick was a snake.
His soldiers were rhinos.
That's right. It's just like real life. Actually, that's a remarkable film. And it has Slim Pickens in it, too.
I remember this scene pretty well.
Yeah.
He's a very heavy sleeper.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I really have to say about Prince John.
He's a really heavy sleeper. Because yeah. Robin Hood could sneak into his room and steal all his gold.
Pretty much.
Just like in the historical account. I mean, the Disney version is pretty much a case-by-case study of a historical record.
Yeah.
So.
Just like Pocahontas.
That's right. And Squanto.
So I'll give Prince John 2 thumbs up for being pretty cool.
And here's a quote from Prince John himself.
And now I name you the loser. Seize him!
I sentence you to sudden, instant, and even immediate death.
That's some heavy shit. I'll give him 3 thumbs down for being so greedy. All right, last category, I think.
Yeah.
We're on the last one. The wild card. So you can choose anything in the world, or even not in the world.
Australia.
Australia is a pretty cool place.
Yeah.
She's been there. I haven't.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was there for 2 weeks.
When did you go to Australia?
Well, our excuse, this was when I was still a therapeutic horseback riding major. Our excuse was that we wanted to see how the Australians did their therapeutic horsemanship, or whatever you want to call it now.
What is therapeutic horsemanship?
It's where you get kids that are physically handicapped or mentally handicapped in some way, and their therapy is horseback riding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It just sounded like, what, you treat the horses' backs by riding on them?
No, you treat the kids.
Yeah. By riding on the kids like horses.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts of Australia? Horses? The Australian horses? Were they jerks?
No. Actually, the little pony that I rode when we were in Ballina for a week.
Oh, my little pony.
He was this little, like, Shetland pony.
Yeah.
And I was the only one that was small enough to ride him. He was a dick.
The pony was?
Yes. Hmm. He was the most dickish little pony.
I'm gonna ride you. Fuck you.
Definitely regretted choosing him to ride.
Oh.
But
yeah. So
I definitely felt more at home in Australia than I ever have here in the States.
So yeah, Australia's pretty cool. That's where Charlene's from. So hello, Charlene. Hmm. Nice country.
Three thumbs up just for producing Charlene.
Been to Sydney. Love it.
I give it 4 thumbs up.
Okay.
Thumbs Australia down. Zoo is rocking too.
It's one of the better countries.
It's too far away.
It is a rather long plane ride.
It's kind of far.
It's like
away.
What the polar opposite. Like
we spent 24 full hours on planes.
I don't know. I'm not.
I forgot we were in South
Carolina. I'm not good at geometry.
So yeah, that's about it for that. So.
Well, before we play a song,
mm-hmm.
I forgot to mention this earlier. One of the things that has always struck me about Kristen, just a little aside here, just bringing it up, is that, and I've noticed this from me taking photos of her, and Sir Mildred Pierce has taken photos of her too, and yes, she cannot have someone take a photo of her without flipping the bird.
Because Sir Mildred Pierce told me it was the proper way to wave to people.
Like when you're
how old were you?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
And you told me that good riddance was right for goodbye. You told me that in the same day. Good riddance.
She's like, good riddance.
That's how Garfield always said it. So.
Flipping the bird?
No, just the good riddance part.
Good riddance. Fuck you, John. So, yeah, that's like your trademark. I've been to your house. I don't remember seeing family photos. I guess that's what you guys really have around the place. But
we have albums.
I've always wanted to flip through them and see if, like, you're standing there, like, in every photo, like, you know, like, oh, your rare Christmas, 1989. There's Kristen flipping the bird. Aw, memories. You're so Johnny Cash. Anyway, so let's hear
a
song.
Do you want to play a new song?
A new song.
I have a new song.
Let's play here a new song.
By the Postal Service.
Oh.
It's going to premiere on this podcast worldwide.
Okay. The Importance of Being by the Postal Service.
Yeah.
Everybody check it out. So that was Postal Service with The Importance of Being.
Yeah. Did you like it?
It's okay. You know, the lead singer, he sounded a little different on this album. I'm not sure why. I like the production a lot more than I like on their previous albums.
This Day in History.
All right.
Today in History, we debuted a new Postal Service song that hasn't even been released yet. Because we got the hookup. So, today is August the 16th.
Yeah.
Ooh, serial killer.
Serial killer? Let's hear about the serial killer.
Carl Panzram.
I'm not familiar with that one.
He is 1928. Carl Panzram is arrested in Washington, D.C. after killing 20 people. Is he a mass murderer or a serial killer?
That's a serial killer. They probably didn't have the term serial killer.
If it was all at one time, it was mass murder.
Murder spree.
Murder spree. What did he do?
Spree killer.
What was his method? It was, probably wasn't chainsaw, so...
He lured sailors away and raped and killed them. So that's more of a serial killer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bummer.
That doesn't sound like something from the 1920s.
It's like the original death.
He's kind of creepy looking, too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah, that's awesome.
First sound cartoon.
1930.
What was it?
Fiddlesticks.
Fiddlesticks. Oh, I remember that. Wait, no, I don't.
Made by Ub Iwerks.
Of course. And I've enjoyed the many Ub Iwerks movies that I've seen, including Fiddlesticks and...
Bundy.
Oh, I remember this one.
The Death Ones.
1987 to McDonnell Douglas. MD-82 carrying Northwest Airlines Flight 255 crashes on takeoff from Detroit Metropolitan Airport, killing 150 people on board, with the sole survivor being 4-year-old Cecilia Citran.
I wonder what happened to her.
Do you remember her?
And she was later hit by a bus leaving the hospital.
I remember that one. Cause
sounds kind of like a final
destination. So has there been like a plane crash every day in history?
Wait.
Because I don't think we've done one of these yet where you have not mentioned a plane crash. Or some aeronaut. We'll just wait till we get to the day where the Hindenburg blew up. I'm sure you probably dig that too. Oh, the huge manatee.
He digs the airplane crashes. I dig the serial killers.
I dig the serial killers too. A plane full of serial killers that crashed? That would be awesome.
We'd both be happy.
Be like, yay, plane crash full of serial killers, yay!
Even the pilots?
Mm-hmm.
The flight attendants?
Even the pilot was like, this is your pilot speaking. I'm wearing women's clothes and women's skin. Yeah.
Put the lotion on skin.
Your stewardess will be by in a moment to put the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again! Anyway.
1920, Ray Chapman of the Cleveland Indians is hit in the head by a fastball thrown by Carl Mays of the New York Yankees and dies early the next day. To date, Chapman is the only player to die from injuries sustained in a Major League Baseball game.
Oh, man.
What a shitty way to be remembered.
Yeah, what a great way to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. How do you think fans responded to that?
Huh?
Like, do you think the team that was playing that team was like, yeah, kill them all, you know? Like, the losing team.
Hmm.
I don't know. This is Bjork with New World from Selma Songs. This is one of my favorite Bjork songs, and I think one of theirs, too. Check it out.
Cobwebs are becoming
Yeah, that was Bjork from the movie Dancer in the Dark, which is a really good movie.
But I do remember seeing Dancer in the Dark.
It's a good film. You ever seen Requiem for a Dream?
Yeah.
Can you imagine watching those two back to back?
I'm surprised you didn't, like, swallow a bottle of sleeping pills or something.
Where are the razor blades? Yeah, so.
The advice column.
Okay, well, this whole religious thing, I'm not religious, but I want to believe in something, and I do already believe in Satan, that he is real. Lucifer, in quotes, I want to learn more about him. I don't want to hear stuff from all you Catholics and Christian people unless you have the truth, because the Bible doesn't know what happened, and neither do you. Because I've always believed there was a Satan, and people always said he was mean and tricked people into selling their souls.
Not Satan. A Satan.
And he has demons, and he hates God. Why? Why does he hate God? Where does he live? Hell? Yeah, I know, I know, but what's it like? Fire? Hot? Torture? Or is good?
That's what the brochure said.
And is heaven really the evil place? I'm not crazy. I'm not a Satanist. I just want to learn more about him to see if I would like to become a Satanist. And if you think that's dumb, go fuck yourself. Well, if anyone has any information or sites on Satan and about being a Satanist in any traditions, please let me know. So
wow.
I do have a website about Satan. But I'm not going to tell you what it is.
I'll tell him. It's sketchzilla.com. It's sketchzilla.com. Yeah. So if you're there. Sometimes.
Yeah. It's Satan frequents there.
I would recommend Google. Type in Satan. I mean.
He does work there.
Is this still like 1997 where we don't know how to search for things?
Let's go back to the whole thing about the Bible doesn't contain the truth. Where does this person think that Satan came from?
Right?
Yeah, well.
I mean, it's not like before the Bible came out that the people were running around going, hey, have you heard about Satan? No, who's Satan? We should worship him. Yeah, you know, I'm not saying that the Bible invented the idea of there being two spiritual sides, a good side and a bad side. But the Bible certainly gave it the character of Satan that we know of it in modern American folklore today.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's
and it's really just a bastardized pagan symbol, too.
Yeah, well, pretty much. I mean, it doesn't look anything. I mean, if you read the Bible says that Lucifer was God's most beautiful angel.
Yeah.
They always portray him as, like, this hideous beast, you know. I mean, like, if that's true, then God has some weird sense of what's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, our advice to you is going to be backmasked. So if you want to listen to it, it's real quick. And that was backmasked. So if you have any software and you want to hear what we just said, you have to play it backwards. Hail Satan! Oh, I should have backmasked that. Anyway, next.
Looks like the other one's a lot shorter.
Yeah, the other one's like one sentence.
I have a third nipple fetish. How do I find ladies with three or more nipples and get with them? So.
Let's see.
Charlene actually had a third nipple, so.
So you said. I wasn't going to bring it up.
Okay.
Unless you did.
It was like over here, under her armpit.
You think, I mean, you know.
It looked more like a mold of
me. Like, that's a whole thing with our culture, especially, you know, the whole breast thing. Do you think she like embarrassed of it? You know, like you know, she was exposed.
No,
because that's the whole thing. You know, women are supposed to show their nipples.
It looked like a mole. I was kind of skeptical.
Really?
Actually,
supposedly it's more common than people realize.
Yeah.
So to help this guy out, let's see. How would you, you know, I the obvious pickup line is, "Hey, baby, do you have a third nipple?"
It was, remember that from Total Recall?
Yes. But, any advice for the guy looking for a woman with three nipples?
Find an easier fetish.
I at least he's staying away from animals.
Well,
we had a guy last week.
He might get desperate enough.
And most animals usually have more than three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's
he'd
cool.
love my neighbor's dog.
Humans are special. I don't know why. Okay, like monkeys don't. I think below monkeys though, they start to have multiple nipples. Probably because you know because they give birth in well, no horses. I don't think do.
No, they got yeah, they got two.
Yeah, but cows have four.
Koalas no, koalas have one.
One.
Freaks.
That seems weirder than having like rows of more than one, or women having more than one, or men for that matter having more than one. I don't know, more than two rather. Gee. So any actual helpful advice for this guy though? Like he wants to pick
Google
up.
It.
Don't be such a freak.
Yeah, you do need to find a fetish that's a little more.
Yeah.
I wonder, there might be a website out there, you know, like a porn website specifically.
Probably.
It's probably all photoshopped.
Probably, or they did the bubblegum trick from, you know, Mallrats, but...
No.
You don't remember that, really? And then at the end, as they walk off, she pulls it off and it's chewing gum. So, yeah, the advice column. Yay! Some don't think I can flow, so here we go to a new track and show the whack. Then I can throw styles that show up. I blow up and blast here. Niggas still tripping off the shit I said last year. About a bitch is a bitch is a bitch is a bitch. Then I got rich, but I'll never switch. So I dedicate this one to the groupie and the Charlie, all of my Snoopy. Brothers keep asking Ice Cube, yo, when will you bust? They surround me and make a big fuss. Now I was taught back on my block that you don't ride on nobody's jock for anything they do. Fuck him and his crew, unless you were getting paid too. I'm not saying this to diss each and every fan. Women you can ride, but man, be a man. Shake my hand and make it a firm shake. Say what's up, Ice Cube, and then break. Cause if you're hanging there, I'ma tell you loud and clear. Get off my dick, nigga, and tell your bitch to come in.
The guest spot.
All right, there's this guy we knew. We're not going to say his real name, but we called him Forrest because he was kind of talked a little bit like Forrest.
He looked like Forrest, too.
Only a little bit, but it was the talking that more did it than anything else.
But we went on about just picking on the dude forever and ever. But like, cause
he was
like,
slow,
too. No, it was like...
Yeah, very tough.
He could give him any mathematical problem he could, like that.
Well, yeah. He was a savant then or something.
No, I think he was a little autistic, actually. Something like that. He had like a third of autism.
Yeah,
you know. He would sit around, he wore the same Tommy Hilfiger sweatshirt and sweatpants all the time, and he would sit around and like rap and be playing whatever kind of rap, and he'd be stacking himself. Like, well, he's like, I don't know what I'm saying. Like, you look stupid, quick.
He kind of talked like that, too.
He did. I don't know what I'm doing. I was like, well, then you shouldn't, because somebody's going to think that he's like, your mother likes donkey soup, you know, and they're going to kick his ass.
Donkey soup.
Hey,
baby.
Alright.
I got high on your way.
I was not present for this, but
really?
James was, and you saw a portion of it.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I was there.
The story was.
You can vouch for the authenticity of the story, though.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, what
this actually is, this actually happened, oh, yes. Right?
Okay, Forrest says, hey guys, I can suck my own dick.
I'm just curious. How did this come
everybody's
up?
Like,
just, out of the blue?
Dude, he just says it.
And what he said, right? I was like, God, tell me he's flexing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I returned. But no, that's how God works. Cool guys like me have little penises. Sean's probably hung like a fucking mastodon.
No. A mastodon.
I didn't even know.
Did you pick it up and look?
You checked the mastodon lately?
No, but it is woolly.
So anyway, he says, hey guys, I can suck my own dick. And James goes, show me! And he's like,
which is something James would do.
He's like, no, he's like, do it! Do it, motherfucker! I'll kick your ass! Do it! And he goes, okay. Pulls out his dick, and from what I understand, from what I was told by Jackal and James, is that it was the color of, like, a winter sky. It was gray. And he just leans down, and he's apparently it wasn't big, but he just starts sucking his own dick. So then James runs over and punches him in the head while the guy has his own dick in his mouth.
Ow.
And to me, that's the worst thing you do to somebody. If a guy can get his own dick in his mouth, there's already a problem. They shouldn't punch the guy. When they say, one of these teeth marks on your dick. We gotta find out who did it.
Well, don't take dental imprints of me, then.
I mean, for fuck's sake. That poor bastard got hurt. But, so we had this huge rat that went on. Hey, you guys, wanna see a nice trick? Watch me dislocate my spine and suck my own dick. And that's the Forest story.
Of many other stories we have about Forest. One of my personal favorites, and it's really, really short. You heard me say it, and you probably didn't know what I was talking about. This is true. He went to a party, and he wanted to be someone addicted to drugs. He was like, I've got to get a drug addiction. He's like, I've got to get addicted to something. And I'm not making this shit up. He went to one of the parties, the mini parties that Chuck had at his house, and Chuck was really into fitness, and Chuck had some pills in his bathroom. Forrest found him because he was looking for pills, ate like the entire bottle and came in and told everybody how high he was off of Chuck's weight gainer pills, which is basically just, you know, carbs. I don't think you can get high off those. And the joke too was when he said to the color of gray, we all called him Smoke too after that too, from the Mortal Kombat, you know, Smoke. Yeah. And so we move on to
this week's game.
This is B-movie character or Shakespearean character. Home team has yet to win one of these, okay?
I'm going to win this one.
So based on my name, some names, and you guys are going to tell me if this person's name that I list is a B-movie character or a Shakespearean character. And I will name either the play or the movie that they come from, too. So, after. Are you guys ready? After you guys say. You both answer, too. So, here we go. You ready?
Yep.
You know anything about Shakespeare?
Yeah.
You know a lot about Shakespeare?
I know a bit about Shakespeare.
Okay. You? Really? Oh, this should be interesting. Okay. Priest Corbus.
I'm going to say Shakespeare.
Yeah, Shakespeare.
And
really?
The Devil's Reign. Is the movie.
No wonder I didn't know it.
We kind of suck.
Okay. Puck.
Seriously?
Yes.
Puck? Shakespeare?
Midsummer Night's Dream?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know any fucking Shakespeare.
I was in Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay, all right. Hey. Maybe I screwed up, but hey.
I thought you were kidding.
No. I don't know. I was like, Puck? Isn't that a character in the real world? Okay, yeah. Look, I fucking hate Shakespeare, okay? So, if you were alive right now, I'd punch him. Anyway, Madam Healy's.
I think that's Shakespeare.
So, Shakespeare B-movie?
From,
B-movie.
Yeah. There's
Necromania.
There's some madams in Shakespeare, though.
Yeah,
I know.
Like, from The Tempest or something.
Versalius.
Versailles?
No, Versalius.
Versalius?
Actually, this one I did know how to pronounce.
Then it's probably a B-movie.
Yeah, probably.
You sure?
No, obviously not.
Because there are some in here from the Shakespeare I know how to pronounce, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going to go with B-movie, yeah.
B-movie?
Yeah.
I'll go with Shakespeare.
It's a B-movie.
Yeah. Ah, ha, ha.
It's The Abominable Dr. Fibes.
That's what I thought.
Abhorson.
Hmm?
Abhorson. The name.
B-movie.
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare. Ooh.
From
Measure for Measure. Okay.
That's what I was going to say.
Olga Rodrika.
Rodrika?
Rodrika. Rodrika.
B-movie.
B-movie.
B-movie. From Freaks.
Freaks.
She's actually the bearded lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alexander Hell.
Shakespeare.
Seriously? I'm going to say B-movie.
B-movie. From, I'm not making this film up, Samurai Bikers from Hell.
Nice.
Awesome.
So this one's probably easy to, I'll save that one for later. Okay. Rosencrantz?
Shakespeare.
Why don't you just skip that one? Do you have Guildenstern next?
No.
After that?
No. Is that... I don't know. Dude, I fucking don't know Shakespeare.
It's from Hamlet.
Yeah, it is from
Rosencrantz
Hamlet.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. And then there was a play they made about...
You both, okay. Well,
they're one of the more memorable characters.
Yes, we both
characters. Characters.
Okay, okay.
You
well,
really don't know.
Some of them have to be obvious. Like, well, I didn't say Romeo and Juliet or Julius Caesar.
Is it Puck?
Okay, okay, okay. Well, we'll see, we'll see.
Okay, okay.
Madame Pompadour?
Shakespeare.
Yeah, Shakespeare.
Wrong. B movie, The Adventures of Iron Pussy.
There's gonna be one madam from a Shakespeare.
Really?
Fang.
Fang?
Yes.
F-A-N-G?
Yes.
I'm gonna say Shakespeare for every single one of them, so I'll get at least one.
I'm gonna say B movie.
Fang is Shakespeare, okay. Henry V. Okay. Mistress Overdone.
B movie?
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare.
What?
Measure for Measure.
Overdone.
Yep.
Yep.
That's the name. That's part of the genius of this. Aside from me naming some really
some
obvious
weird names
ones.
In Shakespeare.
Yeah. Okay. Lord Scroope.
Shakespeare.
Am I up? How much am I up?
I'm not telling you.
You're a bicouple. I've been saying Shakespeare for everything.
I think it's Shakespeare.
It is Shakespeare. Henry V. Crewbowen.
B-movie.
You said you were going to say Shakespeare for all of
them. I lied.
How do you spell that?
Creubowin.
I'm going to say Shakespeare.
B-movie.
Oh.
Booyah.
Alien Dead is the film. Prince Mamuald.
I think I remember that one from a Shakespeare,
okay.
Shakespeare movie or a Shakespeare play.
Prince Mamuald?
Shakespeare.
I think it's from
Shakespeare.
I think it's from.
Ooh,
one
of the movie.
Yeah.
Blackula. Sir Mortimer.
There's more than one Mortimer in Shakespeare. But
no, it's Sir Mortimer.
I know. There's like Sir Mortimer, maybe there's a Lord Mortimer. And then
I'll say Shakespeare.
I'm going to say Shakespeare.
Yes, Shakespeare. The only one that was linked up was Henry V.
Yeah, I was going to say Henry V, too.
That's because half of these are from Henry.
Yeah.
Dr. Laird.
B-movie.
B-movie.
Yes.
I don't think they really had doctors as a title back then.
The Strange World of Planet X. King Zed.
Shakespeare.
B-movie.
B-movie. Beastmaster. Lord Scales.
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare.
Yes, is that another famous one?
No.
Also Henry V.
Yeah, I was going to say Henry V.
You're just saying that on every one of them now. Pygar.
Shakespeare.
I think he was one of Brutus's co-conspirators.
So you guys in agreement? Shakespeare?
Shakespeare.
Barbarella. He's the bad guy. I knew that before I looked it up.
Yeah, whatever.
I did know that before I looked it up.
Yeah,
I've seen Barbarella.
I know. I have no doubt you've seen Barbarella.
That doesn't mean we have.
Okay, last one. Princess Zarina.
Shakespeare.
No. I think it's a B-movie.
B-movie. You want to guess the B-movie? This is really good. Leprechaun in Space.
Nice.
So for the first time, we win with 13 points to 10.
Yay.
Yay! We finally won one. Yay! So, yeah. Did you like the game?
Yeah.
She said, how'd you like to waste some time? And I could not resist when I saw little Nicky Graham. so many devices, everything that money could buy. She said, sign your name on a dotted line. The lights went out and Nicky started to cry. Tell you what she did to me, but my body will never be the same. My little Nicky, she'll kick your behind. Now don't you know that you'll show you no mercy? You should know, should know. Nicky wasn't there. I looked all over and all I found was a phone number on the stair. It said, thank you for a funky time. Call me up whenever you want to grind.
Zombie, pirate, ninja, robot, monkey news. Little metal look.
This is older news.
Yeah. So it's technically not news. It's olds.
Yeah. Don't what?
You know, Shakespeare invented the pun. The pun. No, he didn't. But for a moment, you're like, oh yeah, that's right.
So anyway, yeah, onward to the ninja news we got here, and it's local news too.
Ooh.
Local by...
Like Augusta?
Like Georgia.
Georgia, oh, yeah. Okay.
Local-ish.
Local-ish.
Yeah.
Regional.
Regional.
I'll say regional.
ATF rids University of Ninja Threat. This is from...
I just love the headline right off the bat.
The yeah. University of Georgia.
They didn't burn it down, did they?
Huh? The ninjas?
Yeah, did they burn the ninjas down?
Did they burn the ninjas
like
down?
Like in Waco?
No.
Just making sure. Because they do that, you know. So.
And here's the story. ATF agents are always on alert for anything suspicious, including ninjas. Alcohol, tobacco, and firearm agents on campus Tuesday for Project Safe Neighborhoods training detained a suspicious individual near the Georgia Center, University Police Chief Jimmy Williamson said. And this guy, Jeremiah Ransom,
hey, what an ironic name.
A sophomore from Macon was leaving a Wesley Foundation Pirate versus Ninja event when he was detained.
Who won?
Apparently the pirates.
Really?
They had less detainees.
Yeah.
So.
Avast.
And there's somebody snapped off a picture of this poor kid.
We'll have to put it on the air.
Here he is being detained.
Aww.
He's not a very good ninja if he got red. Caught.
Huh?
Well, he's also got white stripes going down the sides of his pants.
Yeah, that's because he's the UGA ninja.
Well, he's wearing like Adidas pants, but he's also wearing like a red bandana. This is not proper ninja attire. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
He's in the Bloods. You know, that guard sitting on his neck weighs like 400 pounds.
Yeah. It's kind of...
You know, it makes me real comforting to know that those are actually ATF agents, because those guys look like I could outrun them easily.
Not a ninja.
Yeah, but not a ninja for some... Well, they probably had guns. And they're not in uniform either.
Yeah, that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
So...
What the hell's up with that?
Did they teach you this stuff in forensic class or whatever you were taking?
I'm sure I'll probably learn that in the training.
That move?
I'm sure I'll learn it in training.
Is that proper?
Sure.
The leaning on the neck?
Like MC Hammer.
That could really, you know, that seems like it's a good chance of causing permanent injury.
I'm a big guy, and those are bigger guys. Those are guys who, wow. I have a feeling they're spending a lot of time with the alcohol and the tobacco. Not so much the firearms. They're spending a lot more time like, yeah, sure do love working here. You know what?
Yeah.
Let's go shoot some ninjas. Woo!
So that's the ninja news.
They're constantly on the lookout.
For ninjas.
For ninjas.
And pirates, probably.
When do they have the ninja lookout training? Like, okay, man, just spot a ninja.
Look for the red bandana.
So we're going to play another song. This is by me. It's called We're All Fugitives. And it goes all over the place with trip-hop and industrial and a little bit of techno kind of somewhere in there, too. So check it out. Enjoy. And this is by me, PBA. Thank you. yeah, that was yours truly, ABA, with We're All Fugitives. It's off of the new album I'm still working on as this is being recorded. The new album's called Brian Geisen Sends His Regards. And if you know what that's reference to, then you're cool. If you don't, then you're not cool.
I'm not cool.
I'm cool.
He's just saying that. So, what we're going to do now is we actually are going to talk about some current events. There's actually three things. Mm-hmm. We haven't been talking about current events much recently. We kind of sort of touched on things every once in a while, but Fox websites are going to be selling movies and TV shows to download. It's all based off of the Microsoft Windows Media Player technology. Now, the movies are a bit steep. The movies are $20 a film. But
just go to Best Buy.
The TV shows, well, no, these are movies that are out in the theater.
Oh.
But the TV shows are available for $1.99 an episode the day that they premiere. That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the only thing I'm concerned about is it doesn't mention if there's any limitations, like, you know, kind of how iTunes does with its shit. Like, you gotta have the fucking password and all that rubbish.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there probably will be. For one thing, it only works on anything which has Windows Media Player technology, but hopefully something like this will spark something where maybe people's DVD players or Xboxes or whatever. I mean, Microsoft owns the Xbox, so I can see it probably already has it in there, the 360. So you can probably play it on that. Just about, you know, just stuff like that, you know. So I thought that was interesting. Any thoughts on that?
Still $1.99. Too expensive.
I do think it will
do it. I don't know. If you think about it, you know.
Why don't they just do them for free?
$2 an episode and the season's like, what, 12 episodes?
I wonder if they're going to be without ads.
It better be.
Yeah, if you're paying $1.99, there better not be.
I mean, people have done this before. I mean, I think ABC has done this with iTunes or something.
They're saying that they're going to be doing this with all their products.
Yeah.
But they're test launching it with a couple things, and that they intend to launch it to where the entire Fox library, essentially.
Yeah.
Which I think that's pretty groundbreaking right there.
You can get like something old and hard to find.
Well, I don't know about that. I think it's everything new, probably. Yeah. Maybe they'll start getting to that later on, you know. Probably. I don't know. That's what I foresee. I mean, this is something that's been a long time coming. It's just good to hear that, like, I mean, Fox is a major media element. And so I think, you know, I think you say ABC, but I think this is much bigger than probably that. It's the first time I'd heard about it.
It's still not as big as, you know, torrents. I mean, I
think this will eat into that a lot.
It's going to eat into it that much, but
a lot of people, say what you will, but a lot of people do feel like when they're downloading music and stuff like that, they're being dishonest. And a lot of people, they just would rather pay the $2 than take all the time to track it down and go through all the pain in the ass that shit can be. So peer-to-peer can be a pain in the ass sometimes. You get Napster bombed. Like when people like, when people like make a song, you know, and they fake being another band.
Yeah, that's kind of the beauty of BitTorrent, though, is you don't run into that kind of stuff. It's just part of the changing world.
I agree. It's a good thing. Well, like I said,
reaction to that.
That's good news. So then we have a news story on the AP Wire, too. I can't find the original story, sorry. But apparently the Lebanese government is cracking down on just people's websites, but weblogs in particular.
Because
a lot of the weblogs are reporting like bad things about the Lebanese government and so forth. And what's interesting, one of the things the story mentioned, is that they're not being successful.
As far as cracking down?
They're cracked down, yeah. They've really failed dramatically. There's been a real serious, like, when I say a serious push, I mean like they've just like intensely focused on, like, we are going to blot out this menace of people saying bad things about us on these weblogs, and they've just failed miserably. But they have all these interesting interviews with some of the people behind the weblogs, and it was a really good read, and I'm just was curious what your take on that.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I felt. I thought it was great, you know, kind of good.
It'd be interesting.
That's why I say it's neutral, because it's bad that there's a crackdown, but it's good that, you know, that it's failing and that the technology is actually thriving above it. I think it's interesting because you compare that to our own country where we're trying to monitor the web, and it just shows you how unmonitorable the web is, because you look at a society like Lebanon, where they're so restrictive and so, you know, like, intensively into controlling their people. And they can't stop that.
Yeah.
You know? This third one is just, it's one of those stories that we're all going to pretty much have the same responses, I think, but I just read the story and I kind of sat there. I was literally taken aback. I just couldn't believe the things that were coming out of this guy's mouth. I don't know why I should be surprised, but, you know, Basically, Homeland Security Chief sees need for more legal flexibility.
That guy's funny looking.
Yes, he is. He kind of...
What's the name? Michael something?
Michael Shirtoff?
Yeah, his last name sounds creepy.
Like Shirtoff, almost. Like, hey, take your shirt off.
It sounds like a vampire.
He looks like a vampire. In his photo, he's like, I will destroy you all. Yeah. I'm not going to read the whole story, but I will read some of these quotes.
Okay.
Because they're just the kind of things that just make, if you're like me, it just makes you want to break something. Okay, yeah, oh, this is a great one. This is like the one that really hooked me, too. What helped the British in this case is the ability to be nimble. Of course, he's referring to the British terror suspects who were arrested last week. Allow the British in this case to be nimble, to be fast, to be flexible, to operate based on fast-moving information. We have to make sure our legal system allows us to do that. It's not like the 20th century where you had time to get warrants.
What?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I love some of the things it says in here. Congress is now reviewing some of the programs after lawmakers questioned the legality of the eavesdropping program, and the Supreme Court ruled in June that the tribunals had not been authorized by Congress. You know, I mean, stuff like this. And it made me, the whole time I read this story, I had that same question going through my mind. It was like, you know what? Why have rights at all? Why not just abolish the whole thing?
Well, that's one option.
I'm serious. I mean, and I have to ask these people, because there are people, my parents are like this. My dad's like, oh, the whole, you know, the whole wiretapping thing, you shouldn't have to worry about. He's pretty much said the words. If you're not doing anything, what do you got to worry about?
All right.
So, you know, fuck it. Who needs rights? Rights, I mean, what's the point?
Well, some political systems, you know.
In China. And, they're like that. You know.
They don't.
The Taliban springs to mind. Lebanon springs to mind. Iran. North Korea. These are the countries we want to emulate. The ones that are all, you know, the axis of evil. I mean, the axis of evil keeps getting bigger every day, you know. But, you know, these are the societies you want to emulate. I just don't get it. Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity are always tossing the word Islamo-fascists around. Mm-hmm. When they're just as much fascist as the same as Islamist people they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, at least those fascists aren't betraying something that actually means something to people. Like a genuine staple of the country isn't, yes, we support freedom. It's the exact opposite. But our country, that's kind of an understood, you know, an understated element of it. It just blows my mind with this article. I get, when I read it, I got kind of this quiet desperation from Mr. Shirtoff. Almost like he was saying, like, man, you know, I could do more if that darn Constitution wasn't in the way. So, I mean, thoughts?
Yeah.
Or did I just say it all for you?
Yeah, he looks like a vampire.
Not quite the deep...
He looks undead.
He looked pretty
good. He's a zombie. We should have done this in Zombie Pirate Monkey Robot.
We should have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also in the news, it's officially declared that Shirtoff is a zombie.
Yeah.
A robot zombie. That's a whole other breed of zombies. Because
yeah,
right. They eat your brains, and they're always violating Prime Directive number one. So, yeah. Yeah, that's current events. Kind of depressing, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, because that was depressing, you want to hear some Massive Attack?
Sure.
This is DJ Shadow with Massive Attack, and the song's called Karma Coma, and this is a remix. So check it out.
Emotional pain to take on, no taste of rest.
you listen to us from day one, you know that Stephanie is the provider of treats. And she hooked us up. We got Pez the one time, and now we have candy fruit slices. And you get to hear us eating them. It's good stuff. Mm. I love these. My dad's addicted to these things.
I like the ones that are a little bit more...
Like the big, thin ones? They're, like, really expensive?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
They actually kind of taste real...
Yeah.
Like fruit.
These are usually made with fruit, though. These are the shittier kind. They're still good.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's part... These are kind of like juju.
Yeah.
Juju things, you know?
But, did you beat?
Yeah. But that was Karma Coma, remixed by DJ Shadow by Massive Attack. Just a little aside, you might want to skip DJ Shadow's new album. Anyway, I said skip. Anyway.
Movie reviews for movies we've never seen.
Talladega Nights, or I don't know how that's pronounced.
Talladega Nights.
Yeah, I want to see. Yeah, we'll do that one.
Okay.
Talladega
Nights.
Alabama.
Ballad of Ricky.
Taliban Nights.
Bobby.
Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Which is essentially a sort of not sequel, but sequel to Ron Burgundy, The Legend of... It's the same people.
Yeah.
Same actors.
Director Adam McKay of Anchorman.
Director.
Again, teams up with Will Ferrell, who plays the titular protagonist of this epic NASCAR spoof. Bobby is the star of the circuit, but is threatened by the presence of a newcomer... Jean Girard. So he teams up with the fellow racer and buddy Cal Naughton to form Thunder and Lightning, the baddest racing duo on the circuit. So, whatever.
I have a feeling it's probably going to be pretty mediocre.
Yeah. A lot of people seem to like the Ron Burgundy movie.
Yeah, I know.
So.
It seemed to gain more steam after it hit DVD, you know?
But, it's about NASCAR, but at the same time, he's making fun of NASCAR.
Yeah.
So that might endear the film to you in the long run.
I don't know. I guess maybe. I have a feeling it's making fun of NASCAR in too nice a way.
Yeah.
It's not being mean to NASCAR. See, if it were being mean to NASCAR, like totally, like, bashing it toward the point that NASCAR fans everywhere were like, I'm going to go... protest that movie, I'm going to boycott it, and everybody goes to see it. You go to see that movie, I'm going to beat you your ass. I'd probably be like, yeah, that's good.
Okay, well,
is there more red? Red.
Ooh, here, you can have my yellow one.
I'll have the yellow one.
Take the yellow one. I still can't say it.
Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights. The story of Ricky Bobby.
I'll give it 6.
5.
No. 5.5.
Go with the happy medium.
I don't think you're allowed to give 0.5.
Well, I'm giving him 0.5.
Hey, Cam.
I'm just messing. Okay.
Those are some good fruit slices.
Mm-hmm.
Even for them being shitty.
Here's one I've never heard of. The Night Listener.
Ah, that has Robin Williams in it.
Yep. Robin Williams stars as Gabriel Noon, a late-night radio host who receives a disturbing manuscript from a young boy. After communicating with the teen, he goes to Wisconsin to pay a visit, only to find no sign of the boy. Noon becomes immersed in the mystery of the boy's whereabouts in this psychological thriller.
See, I was intrigued by this one, and I gotta tell you, I've seen all the thrillers I've seen with Robin Williams in them.
Yeah.
The 1 hour photo, would you say that's kind of a thriller?
Definitely.
Was really good.
Definitely
Insomnia
though.
Was really good.
Final Cut.
I haven't seen Final Cut yet. I keep meaning to pick it up. I never. Well, it takes place in the future. But
it's a good movie.
I'm probably inclined to give it like a 7 or 8. Probably an 8. It may suck. I don't know. The concept sounds good. Robin Williams. I gotta admit. I mean, he does some shit, but then he does some really good movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like Good Will Hunting was not a thriller per se, but he was good in that.
How about Zoom?
Oh, actually I was intrigued by this one too. It actually doesn't sound that bad.
Tim Allen stars as a retired superhero called back to action to teach the next generation of superheroes at a private academy. If this bunch of jokers hope to save the world, we're in big trouble.
considered.
It's a comedy. It's probably a family comedy. And, you know...
Sounds kind of like The Incredibles.
Yeah, it's kind of Incredibles elements to it, because you got, like...
just make something, like, was it called Sky High or something?
I don't know, never heard of that.
It just came out, like, a few months ago, maybe. Yeah. Had, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. No.
It had,
I mean, it does take elements. I'm sure it was probably inspired. Like someone probably was like, we need to make a movie about teenage superheroes. Go someone get someone on that. I'm sure, and, you know, hey, and Tim Allen, we haven't put him in anything in a while. But he's actually done some good movies. I mean, anyone who's seen Toy Story. Anyone who's seen the Toy Story films and doesn't think Tim Allen could do a good movie, it clearly needs to have their head
in. Yeah, I don't have anything. Galaxy Quest.
It's just, you know, he's done some good movies, and I think that movie can either be really good or really bad. Yeah, I don't think there's a middle... That's one of those movies where there's not a middle line where it can be kind of mediocre. It's just going to be good or going to be bad. I think they might be able to breathe some fresh life into some what's not completely tired concepts, but semi-tired concepts. So I'm probably going to give it about a 7. I don't think it's going to be one of the great classics of American literature, but I think it'll probably be
I have a bad feeling it's going to be... on the upper end. And especially, I mean, people just coming fresh out of the theaters of seeing X-Men 3, which is pretty close to the same concept anyway.
But it's not comedy.
Well, yeah, I know. But the fact that it's comedy is only going to cheapen it.
You think?
Maybe.
It's got kind of like a Spy Kids kind of feel to it, too, I think, too.
I've never seen that, but...
Yeah, well, that's movie reviews and movies you haven't seen. We're going to play another song now. This is Paper Tiger by Beck.
Just like a paper tiger, torn apart by idle hands, through the helter-skelter morning, fix yourself while you still can. No more from the sky, and all the lost of creation, I tell a dead man how to die. Deserts down below, and storms up above. Through the ruins and the weather,
Paper Tiger by Beck.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the only Beck songs I know of where the lyrics actually kind of make sense.
Hmm.
So there is a few where you go, yeah, I know what the fuck he's talking about, but... yeah. Then he says, my time is a piece of wax thrown on a termite that's choking on splinters, and I go, okay.
That song makes me think of Space Shuttle Columbia.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, you've been listening to podcast number 11 with Kristen. Thanks for being our guest, Kristen. Hope you had a good time. Shout out to Charlene as I give her a joke. Two snowmen are standing on a field, and one looks at the other one and says, hey, do you smell carrots? A lot of people don't get that. You have to marinate on it. I like it because it's got this kind of momentary quality where you go, huh? You know why there are no jokes about Jonestown? Because the punchline is too long. So anyway, I'm going to give a shout out to Dan Warren again. Dan Warren, what's up?
Yeah.
Thanks for bigging us up. I love you, Dan. And so there's that. Give a big shout out to Dave and Jessica sitting in a tree. Big shout out to Chuck, Larry. Shout out to Todd, Soup Toddy Todd, another big listener. Dewan. Hey, what's up, Dewan?
What's up, Dewan? Hey, Dewan.
Hey, Dewan. Yahoo!
My honey.
Your honey?
My honey.
What's his name?
Daniel.
Daniel. Daniel. Daniel wanted you to plug something, didn't he?
Yeah. Pretty much, you know, if you're up in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and you want to come get a tattoo.
He'll give you one for free. Tell him the Shapeless Mass sent you.
I don't know about for free. But, you know.
Just mention the Shapeless Mass podcast, and you'll get a free tattoo. Especially if it's like a full-color back piece. Or like some sleeves or something like that, you know?
He lies.
Shout out to Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe,
my brother.
I think he listens sometimes.
And
maybe
our mom.
Michael.
Our mom is actually going to listen.
Your mom listens a lot. So, yeah, thank you for listening. Please pass this podcast on to your friends. And make sure you write us, especially about this one, where, you know, letting us know if we should shorten the scratching at the beginning. Do we need to keep, you know, Built Reviews the World down to 5 items chosen randomly by the stroke of a die? Or, you know, all the, please write us back. And just write us back in general. Comment on the website. You hear me, Dewan? You hear me, Todd? You hear me, Jessica? If you're listening out here, just all you got to do is take a couple seconds out of your time. If you appreciate what we're doing, you dig it, just drop a comment. You know, give us criticism. So here comes some Record Assault by yours truly taking us out. Enjoy. And we'll catch you all next week.
Maybe. Could be an asteroid or something.
I'm with the... I'm with it. I'm with it.
Cobra?
I just saw that one, yeah.
You're like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, I'll refinance with those guys. They might kill me. I don't get it myself.